when people get information for the first time, Eric, what they're trying to do is they're trying to get out of a problem and they're trying to get away from pain. So when people invest in something, whether that's to build their wealth, whether that's to get a new skill, the fastest thing that they're trying to do is get out of their current state, which more often than not is pain for a lot of people. When you're broke, when you're anxious, when you're overweight, when you're coming out of a loveless relationship, whatever it may be, what you're trying to do is you're trying to fix the biggest problem that you have, which is the pain in your heart or the pain in your life. Mm-hmm. So the biggest thing that I need to do is I need to focus my people in on the needle mover.
Hey, this is a quick shout out from one of our awesome sponsors. Check this out. Thank you to Tracy down at Tranquil Turn Massage in downtown Coeur d'Alene. Look, my wife and I, we see Tracy and her team every single month for a couples massage, and it is the best thing. Tracy is a master massage specialist and a Hanu Ashiatsu trainer. You need to reach out to Tracy and her team. Make sure that you tell them that I sent you, and you'll get $25 off your next massage. Also, while you're there, check out CDA Brows, Body, and Ink. Make sure to tell Tracy that I sent you, and you'll save $100 on your next tattoo, brows, and plasma tightening services. Bill, you're the founder and CEO of The Objection Box, where you help people double, triple, and even quadruple their closing rates in 90 days or less. You're a coach, you're a speaker, so much more. Thank you for your time, man. I appreciate it.
No, thank you very much, Eric. I appreciate you, buddy. I appreciate you, and I appreciate that lovely flag behind you, too. So,
Thank you. Thank you, man. I like to kick the show off by going back a bit. Where did you grow up, and what was childhood like for you?
Yeah, good question. So I grew up in a small town in Ireland called Tipperary. Tipperary is the county, but I grew up in a small town called Carrick on Shore. So it's right on the pinnacle between Kilkenny, Tipperary and Waterford, right in the melting pot there. And we're very passionate about different things. So I grew up in that kind of zone, and we had a great pub there in Ireland. We have it with nearly 100 years. So
wow.
10,000 people in the town and stuff like that. So a very small town kind of boy, and kind of grew into something a little bit larger than what we were supposed to be in life, you know. So that's where I come from. Small little town in Ireland. I'm living in London now. The last 10 years, I got two lovely girls here and a partner. So that's where I've been for the last 10 or so years.
Come on, man. That's awesome, man. As I was looking through your story, like you started out kind of in the health and wellness coaching, personal trainer sort of space there. What inspired you to go into that? And then why did you decide to make the jump into the sales and coaching side of stuff?
Yeah, so I always kind of was fit and healthy and, you know, looking after myself mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, you know, nutrition wise. I grew up playing a lot of high level sports, spent 4.5 years in Ireland military and, you know, as a soldier and stuff like that. So it was a kind of a natural progression into the health and fitness and wellness. And I ran that for maybe 6.5 years. And then COVID came in and knocked all of us out of our sink, Eric, as you know, that big C word. Came along and wrecked everyone's lives. So that's how I kind of fell into sales. But I've been in the self-development, building people up, you know, leading people since I've been a kid. You know, I've always been front in line, whether it's sports, you know, in the military, always leading, always pulling and always dragging, always very physically fit. And, you know, the military for me was interesting because I was surrounded by people that told you what to do rather than showed you what to do. And sound incentive. So it was the wrong leadership for me. People would tell you to carry things up the hill when they physically couldn't do it themselves. And I never really had respect for people like that. So I had always issues with that type of stuff, especially in school as well. So my whole leadership philosophy is around you show and then people will follow, you know, and that's a big thing for me in life. So that's how I kind of transitioned out of fitness and sport and wellness into sales. I didn't want to do it. It was more of a case of needs must. I had a baby due in 6 weeks.
Wow.
When COVID kind of landed. And when you're getting ready, Eric, as you can imagine, for a baby, and COVID comes in and knocks all that out of sync, and you go from 6, 7, 8 grand a month to zilch with a baby due in 6 weeks, it was panic stations. That's for sure.
Scary stuff, man. And there's no instruction manual on how to be a dad, right? Especially the first time dad. That's like, you're like, what the heck am I doing, man? And my daughter, she'll be 14 in just a couple of weeks. And I just remember the day she was born, I was like, oh my gosh. All right, here we go. We're getting to this now. You know,
it's the fan. Yeah. I'm very lucky. This is my second one, but I was a dad really early in my life, Eric, 21 years of age. So like by the time I was 27, I'd already kind of like felt that I was 35, if that makes sense.
Sure.
You know what I mean? I've had a lot of experience in 31 years. I've gone through many different seasons in 31 years. You know, when most people meet me, they always say, and this is all, I always laugh at it. They say, there's no way you're 30. There's no way you're 31. It's always interesting. Well, I think a large amount of that really comes down to being a dad early in life. You know, I had to grow up very, very soon, very quick. You know, there was no room for BSing and, you know, all the shit that young people do.
Yep. Oh, man. So true. So true. I wish that I could go back and change some things that I did in my early 20s. That's for sure, man. But I don't regret it. It's made me who I am today.
It's all character building.
Yes. Oh, absolutely, man. Absolutely. It's funny you mentioned the COVID. We're like out here in Idaho the whole time. We were like, what the hell is COVID? Like, you know, we didn't deal with any of that stuff, but it was real funny. Neighboring states would be like flooding into our state, like going to all our restaurants and bars because they were all open the whole time, you know.
Yeah, it was a wild couple of years, wasn't it? It was absolutely bonkers.
It was insane, man. You know, as I was looking through your YouTube channel, one of the things that caught my attention was a video that you have on there, how to overcome every single objection. And one of the things you talk about in that video, which I thought was really cool, was becoming a leader from the bottom up. Like, can you deep dive into that training and how is becoming a leader from the bottom up? How does that work?
Yeah. Look, for me, when I walked into sales very, very early, I realized that most sales calls were leading and ending with what? Objections.
Yeah.
And every sales training that was out there, everyone that wanted to educate people on sales training and coach and, you know, develop sales methodologies, none of them actually poured into the biggest needle mover, which is like, can you actually overcome people? Like, can you actually get people out of their own way? Can you actually give them what's needed and wanted, you know, to get out of their own fears, limitations, hesitations? Can you get them into a position where they believe in themselves? So when I kind of looked at sales and I looked at my own kind of performance, if I took out 10 calls on an average week, 9 out of those 10 calls would end in some element of an objection. Yeah. So I looked at this and look, maybe coming back to my military days, we were always taught to do the hardest thing first. If there's 300 pounds at the bottom of the mountain and we're told to put 300 pounds at the top of the mountain, logically what you would say is, well, when we have full energy, let's pick the heaviest things up first. When we're full of momentum and we're full of bravado, let's bring that to the top. And then once we come back down, it's the second and it's the third and so on and so forth. Yeah. And it was the same thing for me when it came to sales. I could have all of the great stuff that everyone wants to talk about, the tonality and the building rapport and pre-handling objections. But nobody actually wanted to talk about overcoming objections and actually isolating it and figuring out which type of objection it actually was. So that's how the business has kind of been built. I kind of took a portion of the sales process and I doubled down on it and I went all in on it. And that's kind of why we have the success of what we've had.
Man. And you have so many testimonials that have come through with folks that have, you know, done very well through your program. You've impacted a ton of lives through that. Out of curiosity, like on your entrepreneurial journey, what did you personally have to do to overcome some of the mental blocks that were holding you as you were getting into sales?
Mental blocks are always there, Eric, I think. They're always there at every different level. You know, you have the imposter syndrome, you have the fear, you have the anxiety, you have the, am I good enough?
Yeah.
Then once you start making a good amount of money, now it's like you have to get out of the idea of holding on to it and protecting and, you know, hesitant. And then you have to realize you can back yourself, you can go all in, you can reinvest, you can keep developing, you can keep leveling up. So there's a mental toughness part of everything. And I think, look, the biggest thing for me was understanding that this is all part and parcel of the journey. This is all part and parcel of the goal. When you make $1 million in 4 months from literally start to 4 months into the business, it's kind of like too much, too fast, too soon. You know, you're literally making up one step as you go along. And, you know, as you grow over the last, well, as we grew over the last 18 months, you're trying to build the structures properly and you're trying to build everything effectively, you know. So the mental strain is always there. Now in today's market, for me, when you have 10 people that work for you, you know, that work with you every single day, fighting, you know, your mental toughness has to come through that as well. And you have to kind of lead from the front as well, you know, because they have anxiety, they're stressed, they're worried, they're everything as well on top of everything that we have as individuals. So yeah, it doesn't go away. Unfortunately, it's Biggie said one thing one time, more money, more problems.
Yeah, totally.
That's always the same way in an entrepreneur's journey. You know, it's never going to go away.
Yeah. Oh man. So good, dude.
Want to support a coffee company that supports true American values? Then listen up. Blackout Coffee not only tastes good, they are an American family-owned business that is endorsed by people of conservative values all across the nation. Black Elk Coffee is all about American tradition, American family, American values, and American rights. Oh, and by the way, they have over 50,000 loyal customers drinking Black Elk Coffee, and they have 15,000 five-star reviews. So get your freedom nectar at blackoutcoffee.com and ditch the basic coffee.
I mentioned this earlier, but your website says you'll double, triple, or even quadruple someone's closing rate in 90 days or less, or you'll send them $1,200 just for wasting time.
Correct.
What's step one when people go to work with you?
Yeah, step one for me is the biggest thing that I have to do is I have to not give everyone everything. And I see that a big issue. When people get information for the first time, Eric, what they're trying to do is they're trying to get out of a problem. And they're trying to get away from pain. So when people invest in something, whether that's to build their wealth, whether that's to get a new skill, the fastest thing that they're trying to do is get out of their current state, which more often than not is pain for a lot of people. When you're broke, when you're anxious, when you're overweight, when you're coming out of a loveless relationship, whatever it may be, what you're trying to do is you're trying to fix the biggest problem that you have, which is the pain in your heart or the pain in your life. Mm-hmm. So the biggest thing that I need to do is I need to focus my people in on the needle mover. The first needle mover that we need to figure out is the top five objections. And I've broken it down to a think about it, partner, money, fear, and logistics. The first two are actually smoke screens. Money, fear, and logistics are the only objections that need to be overcome every single day for you to get to the level of income that you want. Mm-hmm. Once you understand those five objections, Eric, and I mean like literally to a fine-tooth comb, everything else after that becomes easy. Because if you know how to do the hardest thing in life first, everything after that is, you know, less of a challenge. Like if I asked you, Eric, what's the hardest thing to do in an NFL game?
In an NFL game? being a guy that doesn't watch football, I assume...
or any sport, you know, any sport. And most people would confuse that question and would be like, well, hold on to the possession and, you know, make sure that you have the best people in the best position. No, bring it down to the simplest form. The hardest thing to do in any sport is to put the ball in the back of the net.
Right.
You know, put the ball into the end zone. You know, put the ball into the hoop, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
That's what you should focus on in your sales career. How can I put the ball in the back of the net? So my job is to show you how to put the ball in the back of the net to a place where now you can go back up the ladder and you can say, well, I want to hold on to possession here. I want to try this little trick over here. I want to run this way over here. But the end state and the end goal is always, can I put the ball in the back of the net? Can I build revenue for this company? And can I make commission and help a tremendous amount of people, which most salespeople want to forget? You have to help a tremendous amount of people to make a tremendous amount of money. That's how it works.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's always about, you know, moving the needle. In baseball, that's where my sport, I would say, you know, it's getting the ball in the air, right? Like, just get it off, man. Get it off the bat, man. I love that.
Like, it's the simplest form. When you go, you watch a pregame of a baseball game, most of them want to talk about, well, this person took this angle to run at this angle and he was a 0.2 faster than the other guy. No, the simplest form is, can I hit this ball as far down that fucking green as I could possibly go, which allows me to run 3-4 bases? That's it. That's the simplest form.
Right.
You know, most people forget about it. That's the issue.
Yeah. Oh, man. So good. And it gets down to, so I coach my son's team and he's 10. And I remember last year, maybe it was the year before even, I coached the team first day of practice, said, all right, kids, who's got a cup on? And, you know, one of the kids raised his hand and said, what's a cup on? I'm like, oh, man, this is going to be a rough season.
Yeah, we're in for a ride here.
You know? But it's so much fun to do that, man. When you work with folks, though, when they come to you, like, what's that biggest struggle that you hear, like, most common? And then what is it that they need to overcome that one struggle?
The biggest struggle that most people have when they come to me is they're getting inundated with many different forms of how to do. And you and I both know, Eric, we're in the information stage in life and we're in the information kind of cycle, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, whatever it may be, you're just blasted all day, every day with how to. And the problem that I have is when you're blasted with 55 different ways to overcome something or do something, what you have is you have that analyst paralysis, as you know.
Totally.
So
totally.
The biggest thing for me is to shine the light. And it's to hold people to the fire. Biggest thing on top of that, though, is the leadership frameworks that we work on. You know, a lot of sales and a lot of the problems that we see in the world. And I know you're in Idaho, so you probably don't get to see an awful lot of this every day. But a lot of the problems that I see and a lot of the problems that are going on with the world is there's a lack of leadership. Totally. There's a lack of somebody telling someone, hey, I understand your point of view and I respect it, but this is what we're fucking doing. And this is why we're doing it. And this is what we're executing on. And I think a lot of people, you know, are in that middle ground where we're accepting bullshit, fucking blue haired warriors and he, she, they, them, and all this kind of bullshit.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we need to get back to leadership. I think we need to get back to people, you know, knowing their place and people getting back to being strong internally. Mm. A lot of the world that we have, Eric, right now, there's no lead in their pencil.
Yeah.
There's nothing inside. It's all hollow. And
yeah, yeah.
You can't lead people like that. You can't make sales like that. You can't help people out their own way if you're not solid inside. So big part for us is to build leaderships,
yeah.
Build leaders, you know, in teams and everything else. So big portion of what we do every day.
Huge, man. Huge. I'm a big fan of John Maxwell, you know, big leadership guy. Love his books there. Is there a leadership book that you've read that just kind of was like, oh, this book, man, this is the one that everyone needs to be reading?
Yeah, it's a fantastic question. There's tremendous leaders all over the place if you look for them. I think there's some really, really big players in the US. Not so much books, but more people, I would say.
Sure.
So my big inspirations in life are Andy Frisella.
Yeah.
It was a massive, massive, you know, personality in the US, tremendous business. A man that you just mentioned earlier on, Ed Milet, another guy who's an absolute titan. You have David Goggins, who's another fantastic leader.
Yeah.
You have, who else? Patrick Bet-David, another great guy. You know, so those are my kind of people. I don't follow too many people. As you can probably hear, they're all quite similar. Sean Whelan, another good guy. They're all kind of into that narrowed kind of headspace. Jocko Willock is another good guy as well. So lots of that type of stuff. Those are my people. You know,
so
those are my people. Those, their books, excellent books. Mm-hmm. David Goggins, his two good books are probably brilliant. The best book that I've ever probably read, Eric, was a book by Phil Knight. I'm looking at it right now. Shoe Dog.
Oh, yeah. Shows
the journey of entrepreneurship. You know, he spent 30 years nearly in the red and brought it to an IPO and made $50 million in a day. So that was one of the OMG books.
Yeah, yeah. Such a good book, man. Such a good. I mean, there's a lot of people that do high ticket sales and I see this all the time. There's a lot of people that are coaching on that stuff. Like for you and your team, like how do you make your team stand out from everybody else that's trying to get into the high ticket sales environment?
Yeah. Look, I think most people harsh it, to be very honest with you. And I can stand here and I can look at you square in the eye and I can tell you most people harsh it. Most people can't do what I do. Most people won't be able to produce what I produce. And to be very frank, most of them I've actually coached. Mm-hmm. So a big thing for us is we don't focus on people. We focus on the result. We focus on, you know, the end product, and we focus on getting people where they want to go. Because at the end of the day, Eric, when you deliver at a consistent level, more often than not, people will start to tell your story. Mm-hmm. When you deliver and you actually back up what you say you're going to do for people, those people are the people that actually push your name. So when people talk shit and people want to, you know, badmouth you, those people are the first people to jump in. And those are the first people to say, actually, you're wrong, because he allowed me to do this for my family. He allowed me to earn this type of money. And he allowed me to change my family's future because of A, B, and C. Mm-hmm. So a big thing for us is we focus on people. We focus on results. We focus on getting the job done. That's the reality for us.
Yeah, man. Come on. And sales, I've been in sales for probably close to 20 years in and out of, you know, different positions and selling different things from tech to automobiles and, you know, all that stuff there. It can be such this dance of kind of trying to balance like, yep, I want to continue to pursue the sale, or I need to back away, or, you know, I need to pivot or walk away. Like, how do you balance that type of stuff when you're pushing sales?
Yeah, it's all different. And I'll be very honest with you, where I've kind of made my name and money and kind of built my reputation is always in high ticket sales of B2C, so business to consumers, not big B2B guy. There are different delicacies in terms of how and what and where and when. So a big thing for me is like with business to consumers, online products, whether you're selling for entrepreneurs, you know, agency owners, you know, people that are selling high ticket offers online in an informational package. A lot of the issues that we face aren't necessarily going to be like, oh, we need to push this through to the boards. We need to go get sign off from this person, to this person, to C-suite and X, Y, and Z. So we deal with a lot of individuals and small business owners. So there's four things that I tell all of my guys. And I'll tell you this, Eric. There's four things that I say that are going to happen on the end of a sales call if I'm on it. Yes, no, fuck you, hang up. That's it.
Okay. Yeah.
And the reality is, Eric, I've had a lot of life in 31 years, and I don't want to ask or talk about your age because most people get weird about it. But in your life, I can imagine, yes, no, fuck you, or getting hung up on isn't very bad in the levels and shit that you probably dealt with in your life. Once I get that into people's head and I get people out of their own way and their anxiety about, you know, offending people or, you know, feeling that you're going to give someone, you know, a headache or you're going to hurt their feelings and X, Y, and Z. Yes, no, fuck you, hang up. That's it. You know, that ain't too bad in my life. So that's as far as we go until we get one of those.
That's so true, man. I'm 44 and man, I've seen a lot of life. I've gotten all four of those many, many times, multiple times throughout my life, man.
You didn't die, you know, and they're not knocking on your door and they're not, you know, taking food off your kid's table. Like, and that's what I say to people all the time. Like at the end of the day, people get so much, they get so much anxiety around what happens. And like I say to people all the time, you get a yes, you get a no, you get a fuck you, or you get a hung up on. Like no one knows where you live. They're not going to knock on your door. You're not going to bump into them, Jim, and you're not going to fucking run into them as you're running down the street. No one gives a fuck. So just go for it. You know, go all in, leave the fucking handle off and go for it and see what happens.
Come on.
You know, once you get to that level, like it's, you know, that's detachment. That's like, I'm here to help. And if you don't want to be helped, then I'm going to make sure that you feel it. That's the level that I go to.
Come on. Do you think sales is a natural ability or is it something that's learned? And why do so many people fail at it?
Shit. You are a very, very good host. I tell you that. Your questions are absolutely bang on the button. I think a lot of people fail because they haven't done the internal work. And I also, on the flip side of that, I see a lot of people walk into sales because they feel and think and they see that it's a soft touch. It's not a soft touch. It's one of the hardest, you know, it's one of the hardest skills to overcome and it's one of the hardest skills to deliver on in any market. If you think of it, like the top 10% make all the money in sales, everyone else is just barely baking by in every aspect, in every walk of life. So I think the best people that make it, I always look at people and I look at their personal skills rather than their sales skills first. So personal skills for me, I've always looked at people that have been in military, people that have played high level sports, people that have had a rough life, people that have, you know, had success in other avenues of life. So like if you have a bachelor's degree, so I have a lady who comes from Middle Europe, and she's a professional pianist. Wow. So she has a degree in playing the piano. So she has played the piano for over 20 years in her life. Now, to me, if I take that amount of education, knowledge, training, and dedication and apply it to a skill set where she's going to make 10x the income that she could make playing the piano, like that's someone that you're always going to go to war with because she knows lots of different things. Even when you're sick, you got to turn up. Even when you're hormonal, you got to turn up. Even when you're having a bad day, you got to turn up. Even when you're having a great day, you got to turn up. Even when it's the weekend, you got to turn up. That's what I look for. People that have shown me a tremendous amount of, like, I've had shit in my life and I've kept going. Those are all the people that are going to make it in sales.
Man, that's it's so true. I mean, just the quick backstory myself. Like, I mean, I grew up in the broken home. I had to fight my mom's boyfriend when I was 13, right? Like, I was in jail at 18. I was bankrupt at 21. I battled addictions, man. And, you know, 19 years sober now. My wife and I have been married for 19 years. We're breaking the chains of abuse, addiction, rejection, and divorce in our family line, man. We're changing the legacy, man. And I think, you know, that past, like, once people get past it, once they realize that our past and people's opinions of us don't define our future, man, that's when we can step into that and start making an impact, right?
Correct. The other side of that, though, Eric, the flip side of people that won't make it in sales are people that are looking to make a quick buck, people that don't have communication and skills, people that have spent their teenage years online, people that haven't, you know, physically, mentally, emotionally, you know, built themselves. So people that don't go to the gym, don't look after themselves physically, don't look after their nutrition, don't read, don't write, don't self-develop. All of those people are going to get crushed in sales, literally crushed. I could literally name all of those people will get crushed under 6 months.
Huge, huge, man, right there. That is so true, man. I like I said, 44, trying to stay fit, man. I'm doing 101 pushups every day this year. Started working out last May, man, and started getting shredded, getting rid of that dad bod that I acquired over the years, man. And it's just a mental push, man. And you know, there's days, like you said, where sometimes you don't feel like doing the thing that you need to do, but you just got to keep pushing yourself and you just do it anyways, right?
No. But also for you, Eric, like you've built up fortitude in other avenues of your life. And it's not necessarily like you gain all that just because you're physically fit. Like you're mentally fit, you're emotionally fit, you're spiritually fit. You've seen shit in your life that most people would crumble under.
Yeah.
So like that will always help you keep moving and keep pushing in life, you know? And I see a lot of people that don't have any life experience. you know, I've had a guy that come to us and, you know, like take this with as much respect as you want it to be, sure. But he's 36 years of age. And the first question he asked me was, I know you're going to help me with the sales, but can you also help me with, you know, actually being able to speak to people? This is a guy, and I dug deeper under that, and I says, well, can I ask, like, where's that coming from? And he says, well, my job is that I'm a janitor, so I work when everyone else is asleep. And I kept going down through the life, and I kept going down through it. A recluse, bullied in school, played all his games online, had all his communications in text, you know, nothing in person to person.
Yeah.
I'm very fortunate, Eric, like from as far back as I can remember, we've had a pub in Ireland where you have to dialogue, you have to create conversation, you have to be able to move the needle and keep the wheel moving forward, you know, and all of that great stuff has helped me in life. You know, I'm 31 years of age now. I look back over the last 31 years of my life and everything has helped and pushed and drove and, you know, delivered what you get to see here today. That's it, you know, and it's not stopping. It's like an eight of the journey. You know, you're always developing, you're always pushing on. So those are the people that are always going to struggle in sales, in my opinion. But all the other side of it, those are always the people that are going to be really, really solid, you know, because they can keep going and keep going.
Come on, man. That's awesome, dude. This has been so much fun, dude. I'd love to finish the show with a fun question. I'm a big music guy. So I'd love to ask the question, like, what kind of music do you listen to, or is there a favorite band of yours?
Do you know what? I'm actually in American country music at the moment for some reason. I heard a man called Chris Stapleton there about. Yeah, I know you know who that man is.
Yeah.
4 weeks ago, and the song was Tennessee Whiskey. And I've been listening to all of his stuff on blast for the last 4 weeks. So that's been really, really good. I'm in the car a couple of times a week for an hour either side. And he's just on repeat over and over and over. There's something about his smoothness, his calmness, his delivery of the words, and his tone. They're just, I don't know, just makes me drift a little bit. So that's the vibe I'm on at the moment. Country, Western music, American style.
Oh, that's good, dude. That's good. It was funny. I used to be just a straight metalhead, Korn, Rob Zombie, you know, all back in the days. And
hate the world.
Yeah. And then I worked for Universal Records for a year back in my early 20s. And they're like, you actually have to listen to other types of music. So I had to listen to, you know, country and hip hop and all that stuff. And now I'm like all over the place. You know, I'm off country one day or emo one day, right? You know.
I can do phases of it, you know. I'm at a country western country kind of, you know, deep south at the moment, and I'll go back to Drake, and then I'll go to the 80s, and then I'll go to Adele, and so it all depends. Like, it depends on what kind of zone I'm in at the moment.
So good, dude. Bill, I thank you so much for taking time out of your day, man. I love what you're doing. You're impacting so many lives through what you're doing, and man, you're an absolute world changer. Thank you for your time, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Eric. I appreciate you, buddy.
Hey, if you've ever thought about starting a podcast but unsure where to go, you need to go check out ericallenmedia.com. Click on the resources tab there. I will walk you through how to start, launch, and run a podcast. I've recorded over 500 interviews since 2017, and I want to help you launch your podcast. Make sure that you hit that subscribe button so you catch every show when I drop them. Thanks again. Keep changing the world.